Do you need help protecting your finances as you enter retirement? David Dickens of KC Financial Advisors has got you covered. Welcome to the Cover Your Assets KC podcast.
Time to have some fun on another edition of the Cover Your Assets KC podcast. Walter here alongside David Dickens, president and wealth advisor of KC Financial Advisors, serving you throughout Kansas City with an office in Overland Park. Find us online always at coveryourassetskc.com. On today's podcast, we're going to be talking about ETFs and mutual funds. We'll put them in the ring with one another and see who comes out the victor. Who is ready for the bout? Certainly, I know you are, David Dickens. How are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty well, Walter. That's quite a little tee up for the fight we're going to have between ETFs and mutual funds.
Well, I think, you know, mutual funds, everybody kind of has heard that term. I mean, you're living under a rock if you've never heard of a mutual fund, even if you can't necessarily define it. It's kind of like one of those, you ever had those moments back in the school days, David, where the teacher, maybe it was in English class or something, would does anyone know what this word means? And you'd nod your head, yeah, I know what that means. And then they'd ask you to define it. And you kind of go, oh, I don't know how to actually define it, but I know what it means. You ever have a word like that?
Absolutely. I know it if I see it, but I'm not sure I could describe it to you. Yes,
exactly. I feel like mutual funds fall in that same perspective, and maybe ETFs as well. So we're going to try and accomplish today, first, educating you on what those two different things are, and then how should they or could they be used in a financial plan if you're thinking about that for retirement, and are they useful in the first place? So I guess let's start out. I'll ask you that school question, David, for definitions. Even though we're familiar with these mutual funds, what really is a mutual fund?
Yeah, so a mutual fund is what's a little investment company, but I'm going to call it an investment vehicle that allows thousands of investors who don't know each other and will never meet. It allows them to pool their money together and invest in a broadly diversified pool of assets, stocks, bonds, at a relatively low cost. But it's that pooling of their money to buy those stocks that really is where the term mutual fund comes from. They mutually invest their money together. So it can be a really cost-effective way to get some broad diversification of an asset class, of a particular region of the country, or maybe a European mutual fund, or a specific market niche, without having to buy 20 and 30 and 50 and 100 different individual securities. There's about $19 trillion invested in mutual funds in the United States. And there are various ways that we pay for them as investors. Sometimes there's absolutely no load at all, but sometimes there's a front-end load called a sales charge, like a commission. Sometimes there's a back-end charge, or sometimes there's a percentage fee that goes all along the way. And then one piece of a mutual fund that most people don't recognize is there's an expense ratio, the cost of running that mutual fund. And that comes out every month through the yield or the earnings that is on that mutual fund. And typically, the average mutual fund charges about 0.75%, 75 basis points of expense. That can be kind of expensive unless you are really getting a good benefit out of your mutual fund.
If I play some word association here, David, I know it oversimplifies things, but it can be helpful to absorb. When I think mutual funds, I can think an easy route to diversification, realizing it has other layers, but is that an easy association of the term?
I think that's a really terrific word description. And most people are familiar with that because if you have a 401k at work or a 403b, the vast majority of times you're investing in some sort of mutual fund, stock, bond, or some combination of that. So yeah, I think that's a fantastic shorthand description.
So what about these ETFs? They're sort of the new kid on the block, right?
Yeah, they are. There's about a fifth as much money in ETFs in the United States than there is in mutual funds. They were created about 20 years ago, but it's been kind of a slow growth trajectory for them. But you can think of it this way. Our listeners might know that if you go to buy a mutual fund, you can only buy it or sell it at the close of each day at the net asset value of that mutual fund. It doesn't matter what happened all throughout the day. You can only buy it or sell it on the close. An exchange-traded fund, on the other hand, can be bought and sold anytime throughout the day, much like you might buy a stock or a bond. So that's the main difference between ETFs and mutual funds, is how often you can buy them throughout the day.
So is an ETF closer to a stock in that it has that benefit, or is it closer to a mutual fund in how it's structured, if you're kind of putting them all on a spectrum?
So it's much more closely associated with a mutual fund. Let's just say that, in fact, Vanguard, for instance, does have a mutual fund that tracks the S&P 500, and it has an ETF that tracks the S&P 500. Both of them are very low cost. The main difference between the two is that the ETF trades throughout the day. The mutual fund only trades at the close of business. Both of them own all 500 stocks in the S&P 500 in the exact same proportion as the S&P 500 is created. There's something in the ETF world that would also relate to the mutual fund world, but it's something called tracking error. And so the ETF that tracks the S&P 500 has basically a zero tracking error. In other words, if the Standard & Poor's 500 is up 1.2652% today, then that ETF is going to be up 1.2652% today. So whatever the index that it's following, it's going to track most times almost perfectly.
Interesting to know that you can mirror, you know, the larger indexes, I guess, just so closely. But you said most. Is there another side of that coin?
Well, the more infrequently traded, let's say you have a more off the run or out of the mainstream index that you're trying to follow. Typically, that's going to be with some sort of exchange traded fund. And that may have a more of a tracking error than if you're trying to match the S&P 500 or the NASDAQ or the Russell 2000 or the Dow Jones. ETFs that track those major indexes are going to have almost zero tracking error and almost always a very, very low cost of doing business. Remember, I mentioned that the average cost of a mutual fund is about 0.75%. The average cost of a index mutual fund is about 0.05%. Way cheap to do. And so what I find ETFs to be the most useful for is for the piece of a portfolio that I'm managing and I just want it to track an index, I'll use an ETF most times instead of a mutual fund.
Good to know. So does that answer the ultimate question here? If we, I know our engineers will probably enjoy all the details, but for the person who's sort of the, just give me the bottom, what's the bottom line? You know, which is better? Which do you use for your clients out of the two?
Well, so I think the bottom line is this. It depends on what type of investor you are. If most of your money is in a retirement savings plan at work, you're not going to have ETFs to choose from. You're going to use mutual funds. You're probably going to somehow balance the risk between stock mutual funds and bond mutual funds. And choosing stock mutual funds that index are likely going to outperform over time. And in a retirement plan at work, you have a lot of time usually. So you're probably going to want to gravitate toward those that match an index versus those that are actively managed and trying to outperform an index. For investors that are actively trading throughout the day, well, they can't use mutual funds because they can only buy and sell on the close. So those types of investors are much more likely to use exchange-traded funds. But that brings up an interesting topic that I did want to cover on this too, Walter, and it's the difference between an indexed strategy and a strategy that is more actively managed. Okay to go into that right now?
Yeah, and are you talking not just relating to kind of the ETF mutual fund world, but in a broader sense, right?
Exactly. So you can have mutual funds that try to actively outperform an index, and you can have exchange-traded funds that try to actively outperform an index. What I think it's important for our listeners to know is most active managers, try as they might, do not outperform indexes. And the costs for actively managed funds and ETFs are much higher than passive index funds. So what we typically place in portfolios, what we typically see in portfolios, is a large core of that, let's say, stock exposure that is just indexed to a particular index, S&P 500 or the Dow Jones or the Russell 2000. It's perfectly fine to try to come up with something that is more of a niche ETF. Some that we use, for instance, I have a number of clients who have an ETF that owns about 200 of the biggest public utilities in the country. So instead of me trying to decide which five or six public utility stocks should we own, it's more advantageous and a cheaper to perform strategy to just own an ETF that owns a broad array of public utilities. What that gives my client is less price volatility and a higher dividend yield. So I use actively managed or niche ETFs to try to accomplish a goal on kind of the fringes of a lot of the portfolios I manage. But the main piece in the middle is almost always one or a series of indexed ETFs, in my world, mutual funds in your 401k world.
As with so many answers in the financial realm, David, it seems that the correct answer is it depends. But that's a good thing, right? I mean, it shows that there's flexibility, that there's customization to your situation, that there's no cookie cutter plans out there.
It is. And so 40 years ago, you had way, way fewer choices than you have today. Now, a bunch of choices isn't necessarily good unless you know what you're doing. Sometimes if you go out to dinner, sometimes a really simple menu, well, it makes the decision process simple. That doesn't necessarily mean your dinner experience is going to be better or what you want.
That's a great point, yes.
But sometimes you go into a menu and you got so many things and some of them you don't even understand. And so you're just sitting there wishing you had a little simpler menu.
So I'm thinking of the Cheesecake Factory, if you've ever have eaten there, and it's like you're reading a book when you go and look at their menu.
Yeah, the home of the 30-page menu.
Right, right.
So I know the six things there that I've had.
And I can't imagine ever trying the other 77 of them.
Nor can I. But, you know, there's so many of us with unusual tastes. We're trying to accomplish something different with our dinner experience. And that's why I think there's so many different ETFs and so many mutual funds out there, because there are so many different investors trying to accomplish so many different things. So with the right amount of either personal knowledge or the right amount of advice from a professional, you can construct just about anything you want. What you don't want are the unintended consequences that come from some of these actively managed mutual funds and ETFs. So as long as you understand what is going into the investment that you're getting ready to eat in your 401k or your IRA, you stand a good chance of getting the success that you want.
Great points, David. And as always, if you've got any questions about what we've talked about on today's show or need assistance when it comes to putting together your own financial plan for the future, David's happy to talk to you about some of these different elements, how they get incorporated into your plan. And the best part about it, he's going to make it simple and easy to understand all those different moving parts and boil it down during the CPR, the complete planning review, in a way that's simple and shows you how you can get from point A, where you are right now, to point B. And that's a successful financial and retirement future. But it all starts with that conversation. And if you would like to chat with David about that and haven't done so already, we do invite you to give him a call. It's easy to reach out. Complimentary conversation with David and the team. 913-317-1414 is the number. 913-317-1414. And you can find David online as well at coveryourassetskc.com. That's coveryourassetskc.com. Great way to get in touch and spark the conversation there online as well. David, thanks for all the help on today's program. Enjoyed chatting about this. So the I guess it was a draw. Is that what they call it? What do they call it in boxing? It's a no decision. Is that what it is?
It wasn't a TKO, I'm sure of that.
That's right. That's right. A no decision between the ETF and the mutual funds today. But we know that you're there to ultimately help us. Instead, they work in harmony, and they're now on the same team, right, instead of being pitted against each other.
Exactly. They're neither good nor bad. They're just different. And understanding what makes the most sense for you is what you're trying to get out of the process. So get a good process in place, get some good advice, and make some good decisions. You know, if we've talked about things that maybe spurred another thought in your mind today as you're listening to us, make sure you go out to our website, coveryourassetskc.com. Up in the right-hand corner is going to be a drop-down where you can touch podcasts. And that allows you to submit a thought as to, you know, I'd love to hear you guys talk about this particular topic. And frankly, some of our best topics come from those types of ideas. So let us hear from you in that way, and we'll make sure to get your topic onto a future podcast.
A great thing to mention there, David. Absolutely. So we'd love taking your suggestions on ideas and topics, and that's the way to do it. CoveryourAssetsKC.com. We started with a boxing match today and ended in Kumbaya. I'd say that's a successful podcast. David, thanks for all the help. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, Walter. Thanks.
New podcasts every week. Be sure to join us for the next one right back here on Cover Your Assets KC Podcast. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and KC Financial Advisors are independent of each other.